This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
And in your ag news for this Tuesday morning, the Department of Agriculture projects the fiscal year 2019 U.S. agricultural trade balance will fall to $5.2 billion. USDA's Economic Research Service projects exports at $134.5 billion and imports at $129.3 billion, leaving a $5.2 billion surplus, the lowest since fiscal year 2006. Unlike overall U.S. trade in goods and services, U.S. trade in the agricultural sector consistently runs at a surplus. Although agricultural exports have increased in value since 2016, the value of imports has risen at a slightly faster rate, leading to a declining trade balance. Compared to the previous outlook in May of this year, exports were revised down by $2.5 billion, while imports were raised by $0.3 billion. The decline in expected export value was primarily due to lowered expectations for corn and soybean exports. For imports, the increase in the forecast was due in part to an increase in the expected value of horticultural imports, such as fruit and vegetables. The initial projections for the fiscal year 2020 suggest a small recovery in the agricultural trade balance to $8 billion. America's drivers have a new choice that unites performance and sustainability at a competitive cost. According to the United Soybean Board, Biosynthetic Technologies' bio-based synthetic motor oil using high-oleic soybean oil from U.S. soybeans is now on commercial shelves. USB Director Mike Korth, a Nebraska farmer, says soy-based motor oil is another great opportunity to drive demand for U.S. soybeans and meet consumers' sustainability demands. Biosynthetic Technologies motor oil is also recognized as a USDA-certified bio-based product in the United States Department of Agriculture's BioPreferred program. The company will market both 5W20 and 5W30 through Amazon and directly from their website. The product is available for purchase and use immediately. Biosynthetic is also offering farmers a limited-time 20% discount to purchase the synthetic oil. They can also use code BIOTRAILFARM, available only at motoroil.biosynthetic.com through January 31st. USB and the USDA have supported the soy-based drop-in synthetic alternative to petroleum-based motor oil, calling the oils well-suited for high-temperature automotive and industrial applications. Moving on to the island of Hawaii, agrochemical company Monsanto Thursday of last week pleaded guilty to spraying banned pesticides on research crops on the Hawaiian island of Maui in 2014, prosecutors have said. Monsanto, now owned by the pharmaceutical giant Bayer of Germany, also has agreed to pay $10 million for charges it unlawfully stored the pesticide, which was classified as an acute hazardous waste. The money includes $6 million in criminal fines and $4 million in community service payments. Prosecutors have agreed not to prosecute Monsanto if it abides by the agreement, which requires the company to comply with U.S. environmental laws. The U.S. attorneys in Los Angeles handled the case after their counterparts in Honolulu were recused. Bayer said in a statement that it did not live up to its own standards or applicable law. The banned pesticide was methyl periathion, which is an active ingredient in Panicap M, which the company used on corn on a research crop in Kauai. Monsanto admitted it sprayed Panicap M even though the company knew U.S. Environmental Protection Agency had prohibited its use after 2013. The company also admitted it told employees it could re-enter fields a week after the spraying, even though Monsanto knew that workers should have been prohibited from entering the field for up to a month. In other news, authorities say 42-year-old Chinese national who worked for Monsanto in St. Louis stole important proprietary property and tried to take it back to China. Federal prosecutors announced Thursday that Hayashio Chang, formerly of Chesterfield, Missouri, was indicted by a federal grand jury on 8 charges, including conspiracy to commit economic espionage and 3 counts of theft of trade secrets. According to the indictment, Chang worked at Monsanto and its subsidiary, the Climate Corporation, from 2008 to 2017. He is accused of taking an algorithm called the Nutrient Optimizer that aimed to improve agricultural productivity. Federal prosecutors said in a news release the day after Chang quit at Monsanto, he brought a one-way ticket to China. He was arrested before he boarded his flight, and investigators confiscated copies of the Nutrient Optimizer. Last month, Firestone released a new line of farm tires that will help combat soil compaction, especially in years with an overabundance of rainfall similar to the spring of this year. Earlier this month in Kansas City, I spoke with Firestone brand manager Matt Frank, who explains more on the new features with Firestone farm tires.
Yeah, the Massey Traction just launched, as you say, just this last month. It's a premium radial tire for tractors and combines. It offers improved wear and improved tread life. So we've actually done some testing internally against our previous tire, the RAT Radial All Traction DT, and it does offer, like I said, improved tread wear and improved tire life. So and it comes with all the bells and whistles, right? So we have it has 82 technology, which is the Firestone branding for IF and VF. So as machines are getting heavier, loads are getting heavier, you need to have tires that can carry that load, but you want to do it without risking soil compaction. So that's what IF and VF does. So you can carry the load, you can carry more load at the same inflation pressure, or lower your inflation pressure at a less load. So that basically the bottom line is that it increases your footprint and helps with soil compaction. So. The other thing it does offer is R1W, which is a little bit deeper tread. It works in a variety of soil conditions, so I know that this year we're seeing a lot of wet conditions, so R1W is perfect for that type of weather pattern that we're seeing. So, again, all the bells and whistles, and we're proud of the offering.
Firestone's been around for quite a long time, 75 years offering tires to the ag producers of the country. What are we doing here at Firestone to honor 75 years?
Yeah, so actually Firestone itself has been around for more than 85 years. So next year we do have a 75th anniversary of our Des Moines, Iowa manufacturing facility. It produces tires that are shipped to 120 countries around the world, 600,000 tires a year annually it produces. So we're real proud of that heritage. It started off producing military tires during World War II. And then transitioned into ag, forestry, and construction. So, nice thing about it is we want to make sure people are aware of what goes into the making a tire. Not specifically getting behind the scenes, but just talking to the people who are there on the front lines producing the tires. Kind of understand a little bit more about how the history of the facility. It's got a great history that we want to make sure people are aware of. And as you're probably aware, Made in America is real important to the American farmer. So we want to make sure that they know that in Des Moines, Iowa, just across the river from Illinois, there's a plant that produces ag tires.
And as we move forward here a bit into the near future, 2020 and winter, of course, is coming up, even though we've had a couple of snows already and we're not even to the first day of winter yet. What are some things that farmers or maybe even just people on the road need to be aware of as we head for what could be a nasty winter?
Yeah, winter is upon us, definitely. So one thing is the real important is, planting season seems to be getting shorter and shorter, right? So downtime is becoming increasingly, the avoidance of downtime is becoming more and more important. So one thing you can do to avoid that is to take the time during the winter to check your tires. Check the tread. Look for, stubble damage or other kind of that type of damage to the tread itself. Look for irregular wear patterns. Check the sidewalls for cuts and scrapes. Do things like check the nuts and bolts. Check the valve stem. But the most critical thing you might want to look at is calibrate your air pressure. So just make sure that is right and you don't get any leaks. A good idea in the winter is also to maybe increase it a little bit because it is going to have a little bit of air loss over the winter. Which is normal, but we will make sure that we're catching anything that's good, that is going to cause you issues when planting season starts.
And just wrapping this up here, Matt, we were talking about the history heritage of Firestone for 75 years. What does the next 75 years look like for Firestone?
Yeah, so technology is changing. It's becoming much more rapid as far as the introduction of technology. So we are constantly looking at new ways to not only develop tires that work for the farmer, but manufacture them in a more efficient way. So as we look to the next 75 years, that's our goal.
All right, Matt, thank you so much. That was Matt Frank with Firestone Tires. Moving on now into State Ag News, we have your latest crop progress and condition report. And with the report, we'll join Mark Schleusener with the National Ag Statistics Service in Springfield.
Warmer weather came to Illinois last week. Average temperatures ranged from 3 degrees below normal to 1 degree above normal. Overall, the state average temperature was 39.4 degrees, and that is 1 degree below average for this time of year. Rainfall totals ranged from nearly 1/2 inch to slightly over 1 inch, and the state average was 63 one-hundredths of an inch, just slightly drier than normal for the week. On Sunday the 24th, soil temperatures ranged from the low to mid 30s in northern Illinois to the upper 30s in southern parts of the prairie state. There were only 4 days suitable for field work last week, and topsoil moisture levels were reported as 3% short, 83% adequate, and 14% surplus. Corn harvest reached 88% finished last week. That compares to 100% 1 year ago and 99% for the 5-year average. Illinois soybean harvest is now 95% finished compared to 99% last year and 100% normally. Switching now to winter wheat, 91% of wheat acres have emerged compared to 86% last year and 90% normally. The condition of the wheat crop was reported as 18% of acres in very poor to poor condition, 37% fair, and 45% in good to excellent condition, unchanged from last week. Pasture conditions were rated 36% very poor to poor, 35% fair, and 29% good to excellent, which is worse than 1 week ago. This will be the last weekly crop progress and condition report issued this year. Data collection will continue until corn and soybean harvest reach 95% complete, and those estimates will be included in the national crop progress and condition report. Monthly reports will continue for Illinois over the winter until weekly reports resume in April 2020. I would like to thank all of the crop progress reporters for helping NAS to tell the story of a very unusual and difficult crop season. Your assistance is greatly appreciated. This has been Mark Schleusener with the Heartland Region, Illinois Field Office of USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service in Springfield.
And in our last story for this Tuesday morning, the Montgomery County Farm Bureau held their 102nd annual meeting at the Wet Lions Club last Thursday evening. Kevin DeFries is the representative of Washville Township, as well as the vice president of the Montgomery County Farm Bureau, and he joined me last week to talk about the meeting, as well as his role as vice president of the Farm Bureau.
All went very well. Pretty good attendance. We decided a couple years ago, we thought we'd try to move it around different places of the county, you know, give other people a chance to attend or not have to drive so far. But it went over well.
And a couple notable things on the level for the County Farm Bureau. Met quota this year. That's pretty exciting.
Yeah, because the numbers have just, you know, over the years have been dwindling. And we worked pretty hard. We have a few members that worked especially hard. Give them kudos to that because they worked awful hard to get there, and our insurance reps as well. So went well. Glad we made that.
As that role as vice president, I'm sure that keeps you busy as well. So kind of give the listeners kind of a roll of your duties as vice president of the Montgomery County Farm Bureau.
Well, yeah, it keeps me somewhat busy, but not near as busy as, you know, give credit to Jay Neiman, our president. He does an excellent job. And our new manager, Katie Wilson, she's been phenomenal. So, you know, myself, I don't have to do a lot. I mean, I have on some committees, and we help with a few things. But as far as the day-to-day things, I mean, Katie does a wonderful job, and as I said, Jay too. So it's been good. I've definitely enjoyed it.
And again, that was Kevin DeFries, Farm Bureau Board Representative of Washville Township and Vice President of the Montgomery County Farm Bureau. And that'll wrap it up for this Tuesday morning edition of The Farm Show. But remember, if you have ag news for us, please email it to us at WSMI@WSMIradio.com. So for this Tuesday morning, November 26th, this has been Gabe Osborne reporting for WSMI Ag News.